In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may become completely one. There are no loopholes in that statement. In no uncertain terms, Jesus is saying, you belong. You belong. You are woven into the tapestry of life, completely one with God in Christ. You are a part of the tribe. For me, there's comfort in that statement. It provides a sense of safety in this messy life. When we are lonely or depressed, we belong. When we are joyful and excited, we belong. When we say something hurtful, we belong. Whether we made the perfect score on the ACT or failed our math test, we belong. No matter how many zeros we have in our bank account, we are a vital part of something bigger. In a world that seems too divided to heal, we are completely one with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to each other. The scripture reading today is, to me, the true definition of community. In this community of St. John's, we have a shared theology and come together each week to express that in a formal way through liturgy, song, and prayer. Episcopalians have a corporate style of worship and a red book, the Book of Common Prayer, a rubric for how to worship together as a group. As someone who grew up in the Episcopal Church, there's comfort in the liturgy. I know what to expect when I walk into any Episcopal church in the world. Sure, there's high church and low church, but it's always familiar. I know the rules. I don't need to know the person sitting next to me in the pew to engage in a meaningful worship. I can do it alone. Or can I? Rachel Held Evans was a New York Times bestselling author, blogger, and millennial who grew up in a Southern evangelical household but found the politics, huge building budgets, and scandals of the megachurch hypocritical. She was drawn to the Episcopal Church in search of a new home. In 2015, I had the pleasure of attending a conference in New York City for which she was a panelist. Speakers at the Trinity Institute Conference at Trinity Wall Street included the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, Dr. Cornel West, and other heavy hitters. Rachel, in her early 30s at the time, was admittedly nervous and openly commented on her lack of credentials compared to other speakers. She was intimidated, but pushed through and spoke her truth. Christianity is not something that is taught and learned, she argued. It is only experienced by and with others in community. She writes, "They reminded me that Christianity isn't meant to simply be believed. It is meant to be lived, shared, eaten, spoken, and enacted in the presence of other people. They reminded me that try as I may, I can't be a Christian on my own. I need a community. I need the church." I've noticed a shift in the last couple of years where sometimes I can't tell whether we're worshiping or playing. We walk through the woods and share our stories and get to know one another in a more intimate way. We meet for lunch or coffee to catch up with old friends and meet new ones. We gather in the dark of night to gaze at the heavens and discuss the majesty of creation. There have been countless times over the years when I questioned whether or not having a glass of wine with my girlfriends at Gals was considered work. If the answer is yes, I have the best job in the world. And I'll be working this Thursday at the ward at 5:30, so come join us. It is only through these experiences we can begin to trust one another enough to become vulnerable. It is through sharing, eating, and listening in the presence of one another that we can truly belong. We give to and receive love from one another. Isn't that worship? This type of living worship nourishes our soul. Several years ago, our 22-year-old son, Reed, told me that he felt fortunate growing up in the church. He said he knew he had the support of hundreds of people wanting him to succeed, wanting the very best for him. He felt a sense of belonging that he was afraid many of his friends had never felt. He also said that it kept him from getting into too much trouble as a teenager because he knew that he might see one of you around town and they would tell his mama on him. So thank you for that. This type of worship and inclusion cannot be put into a red book. I love this time of year when summer residents return for the summer season. Each Sunday, familiar faces walk into the sanctuary eager to reconnect. Some come in with smiles and big hugs, eager to pick up where they left off last season. Others are more timid, perhaps wondering if they will be remembered or if they will fit in this year. It's almost like watching the first day of school jitters. I think we all know that uncomfortable feeling, but watching this dance, you always amaze me. With open hearts and open arms, you provide the warm embrace of hospitality, as if saying, "Welcome home to where you belong." We at St. John's have come to embrace this rhythm of seasons with hospitality and love. I and them and you and me, that they may be completely one, provides a safe place. We can get sick and know there are others to pray, provide a warm meal, and help us heal. We can struggle with life's challenges and know we are not alone. The church provides a safe place to fall, and that's important because we all fall. The church also provides a safe place to launch. We can dream, take chances, and be bold spreaders of love, knowing we have a community of cheerleaders. We want the best for each other, and will support one another as we soar to new heights. Creativity flows when we are free to fly. I believe God giggles when we soar and live into the persons we were created to be, encouraging each other to be their true selves. We need both from the church, to pray together and to play together. Now, I am not naive to the fact that the church has deeply hurt people. I am not naive to the fact that our sacred texts, traditions, and values have been misused to perpetuate and condone violence. Rachel Held Evans also writes, "If you are looking for verses with which to support slavery, you will find them. If you are looking for verses with which to abolish slavery, you will find them. If you are looking for verses with which to oppress women, you will find them. If you are looking for verses with which to liberate or honor women, you will find them. If you are looking for reasons to wage war, you will find them. If you are looking for reasons to promote peace, you will find them. If you are looking for an outdated, irrelevant, ancient text, you will find it. If you are looking for the truth, believe me, you will find it." That is why there are times when the most instructive question to bring to the text is not what does it say, but what am I looking for? I suspect Jesus knew this when he said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened." If you want to do violence in this world, you will always find the weapons. If you want to heal, you will always find the balm. We are woven into the fabric of St. John's Episcopal Church in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and are called to be the healing balm for each other and for the world. We have the prayers of over 100 years washing over us every time we enter these doors. And we have the prayers of over 100 years washing over us every time we exit these doors. If you are looking for a community of flawed humans, constantly launching and catching one another, welcome home. You belong here. Amen.
Amen.